This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Barracuda is the story of Danny, a swimmer who could be the best, the very best in the world, growing up, dealing with victory, dealing with defeat. Written by Christos Tsolkas, following the success of The Slap, the first part of a four-part series aired on the ABC on Sunday night. Tonight on The Informer, we're joined by the author, Christos Tsolkas. Hello, Christos.
Hello, it's a great pleasure to be with you guys.
On Joy, yeah.
Exciting to have you here.
Now, Christos, this is the second show or series that the ABC has picked up from one of your books. How does that feel?
I feel phenomenally fortunate. That's what I feel. And Matchbox, who were the production company that did The Slap, also have done Barracuda.
Yep.
And Amanda Heath and Tony Ayres, producers on it. And that, you know, after The Slap, it was no brainer for me. You know, I was just excited that Amanda and Tony responded in the way they did to the novel of Barracuda. And I knew that I was in safe hands.
Also, you're the associate producer on this project. Did you have that role in The Slap?
Look, I don't, you know, David, to be really honest, I think that title is a huge kindness that that the producers have given to me, because really what all my role has been is to sit down from time to time, largely with the Robert Connolly, the director, but also Blake and Belinda, who are the writers of the miniseries, and with the actors, and just be there for input when they needed it from me, and also to know when just to shut up and go home, because you know sometimes you don't need you need the writer to get away. But you know, I've been very, again, I'm going to use that word, fortunate with in my relationship with Matchbox and the ABC, that they've allowed me to come in, and because I love film, I love the moving image. I think Tony, Amanda, Robert trust me that I'm not going to be, you know, I'm not going to be precious about the material. You know, I know right from the get-go, when my first novel, Loaded, was adapted into the film Head On,
that
you have to... I'm very, very grateful for what Anna Kokkinos, the director, Andrew Bovell, the scriptwriter, and Alex Dimitriadis and Paul Capsis in those roles, what they did for me. And that's where you have to trust those collaborators.
I'm sorry, David's, you know, swooning in his seat at the moment.
Well, it was interesting. I just spoke to a young man the other day who said to me, you know, I realised I was gay when I watched Head On.
Get out of it.
A teenage boy in the suburbs. And it was just, he said, as soon as I opened with Alex Dimitriadis wanking... I just realised that I think I'm not in
I might
Kansas
be into
anymore.
This.
It was
I
on
might
a,
like
a
this.
Very big screen, and it was quite amazing.
Well,
at the time, that was like, 1995, and we're in the cinema just going, my God.
Well, anyway. I think, Barracuda might be the awakening for a lot of young guys. There's a lot of, very beautiful male bodies in the show that are very much a focus of the camera. But you might be hearing that story a bit more about Danny.
Well, it's kind of inevitable if you're going to do it's about swimmers.
Yeah.
And it's about these young men who are, they're never going to be more beautiful.
Yeah.
The discipline that those young sports people have at such an early age, when I think, what I was like,
You were a swimmer yourself, though, weren't you?
I was a swimmer, but never a competition swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't need to get up at 4:30 in the morning and to go down to the pool, and I didn't need to do that for 4 hours a day. I mean, it's a phenomenal routine, and so yes, I think the young guys look amazing in the series, and I think Rob was really conscious of that too. You know, he wanted us to really feel that beauty when we saw him, to really identify that these are bodies and at peak condition, so that we also get that shudder when we realise what it means to fail.
Definitely. Elias Anton is eye candy, and it's just worth watching for him. But he's a really good actor as well.
I mean,
he brought so much to the role there.
You know, we were talking about Alex before, and just, just what how generous he was and what he gave to the role in Head On. You know, he was fearless, and Elias has got that quality too, that fearlessness. And you need that because, he's just completing VCE, just a young kid, but he's got a real grace and dignity. And he's really committed to acting. You know, I think the casting on the show has been terrific. Now, it was one of the pleasures of just how real a family they seemed.
Actually, I remember reading the book back in 2014. I was on a trip going overseas and I was with some friends and I just couldn't put it down. It was really hard. But I got towards the end and I'm not going to give anything away of the story. just towards the end, I actually had to put the book down because I wanted to savour that last part of the book, which doesn't happen very often. But, you know, there is a departure from the original story. It is slightly different, obviously for television. Or, you know, did you screenwrite this part?
No. This was, I'm not going to take credit for that at all. It's Blake Ashford and Belinda Chaco, who were the screenwriters. As I said, you know, part of my role in Barracuda was just to sit down with them and talk through ideas. Very, very early on, they knew that they, because you had to make, the way the book is structured, as you know, David, is you've got the chapters that deal with a 14-year-old, you know, kind of moving through getting to the private school, getting into competition. And then you have the alternate chapters, which is the man in his 30s, kind of reflecting back. And so there were two ways to go. Either you have to cast two different actors to play the young Danny and the older Danny, or you go with the one actor. The choice was made to go with Elias throughout, and I think it's the absolute right choice. I mean, there's that question of what is fidelity when it comes to adaptation, and I think sometimes people mistake that as meaning that you have to keep every narrative strand in the book and replicate it on the screen. And often what you get when you do that is a really dry work or a tedious work, because books are not films. They work in very, very different ways.
Yeah, it's a different medium. Yeah,
exactly. And so what I think about Barracuda, and I mean this quite honestly, I watched the last two episodes last Friday night, and my partner Wayne, in tears, just turned to me at the end and said, "They've really honoured you."
Yeah.
And the honouring isn't about being absolutely faithful to the story. The honouring is actually being really faithful to the core of the book, which is about... which I think is about family, but is also about how you deal with this rage as a young man, how you can really, really screw up, really do damage, and how you come back from that.
There's also that class difference as well, and that's probably where some of that rage comes from. And now I know I grew up in the same suburb as you did, and, you know, we weren't certainly in the elite areas, and you would have been what I would have called a wog boy back in those days. I mean, this is, you know, 70s and all that sort of stuff.
I cringe even hearing you say that.
I know, cringe.
Probably more because I'm thinking of those really bad movies.
But, you know, there was that class. But there was also that big class difference between, you know, where we came from, and then, of course, it's all set in the elite school, and... you know, that's a very central issue in the book, and also as portrayed in Barracuda on the ABC.
Look, for me, you know, one thing about writing Barracuda was trying to work, you know, there's that, you know, it's about a swimmer, and sports is a part of our mythology in Australia, right?
Yeah.
One of our myths is that we're classless or egalitarian, and I was very conscious that I was writing this book in a time when those, you know, just the inequality seemed to me to be increasing. And I'd had a bit of experience working in high schools, and it was going back as an adult, going back into schools, and I was in areas where kids were doing it really tough, and that gave me an impetus to write about class and to write this character, Danny, coming from Resonate and having to go to a school in Toorak or Malvern or wherever it is. And I remember two things that I used to draw on that experience. One was, David, when I moved to Box Hill North and went to Blackburn High, where we were, you know, our old alma mater.
Yeah,
I'd come in year eight, and I had been, I'd come from Richmond High, so you know, there's a completely. It was also coming in from a very migrant world into what was then a very Anglo world.
Yeah,
at Blackburn, so I drew on that experience, and the other character in the book that is, to me, almost more... I mean, Danny's a character that I created, but Demet, his best friend, who goes to university, and her, what she experiences coming from her background going to this world is probably much more similar to my experience. And I drew on that.
I just remember seeing in this... in Barracuda when Danny actually goes to his best mate Martin's family home down the coast, and they meet the patriarch of the whole family, which is Margot.
That's such a great scene.
And they're sitting around at the table, and she says to him something like, "Oh, listen to them, they're not like us.
I've always admired the working class."
Well, yeah, they're That's applicants, right. And she's referring to the other people, you know, the people that are her family. She says, "You are authentic, Danny. That's what makes you better than any of them." And Danny says, "I'm going to be the best." And she says, "They'll hate you for that."
You know, one of the one things I do need to say that in a very different setting, in the city, not in a beach house, but that was said to me my first year at university by an elderly woman, quite aristocratic in her bearing, kind of almost that old English class, and she did, you know, she just was sneering at these other people because they were middle class and saying, "At least you are authentic, you're working class." And that moment has actually troubled my dreams now for over 25 years, in the sense that, just like Danny, I initially thought, well, that means I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be whoever I can be. You know, I'm not going to lose sight of who I am and where I come from. And maybe I am better than these other people. But what happens when you move out of your class? You know, when I'm a writer, I'm an educated man, is I don't belong in either worlds anymore. I think that's exactly the experience Danny finds. And in the TV series, she turns on him, or she ignores him, because he no longer comes from that world, and he doesn't fit in her world. So it was a real poison chalice that old lady offered me.
Your stories aren't coming out stories. Coming out happens within the story, as just part of the story. With Danny, why do you choose to focus on the coming out story as like a more of a secondary or even a third tier importance as far as the swimming?
You know, clearly the coming out experience for all of us who are queer. You know, two things we know about it is that it's fundamental, really. You know, we all have a version of that story. And also the coming out is a long process.
Yeah.
You know, there's that incredibly frightening or exhilarating or combination of both things, of your first time you say, "I am."
Yeah.
You know, I am gay, I'm lesbian, I'm trans, or whatever the word you use. But the reality is, as a writer too, is that there's the coming out story has been told in many ways. And that rage that Danny feels is certainly connected to how the world he moves in deals with sexuality, but it's also so many other things, which includes class, which includes identity, which includes notions of success and failure. And I thought, what I want to write in this book is a book that trusts the reader that we know the coming out story. You don't need to be told. And so that's why I created the structure. I created that alternate going back and forth between first person and third person, in that you fill in the gaps in that structure. So we never actually see the moment when Daddy sits down with his mum or his dad or both and says, "I'm gay."
Yeah.
That never happens. Because I know you as readers know that moment. You can fill it in. And one of the things that was really important to me in writing this book, and I hope it kind of goes to addressing your question there, is that rage, that shame, that fear that so many young men have, and I certainly had it, is something that you have to deal with. Coming to adulthood, I think, is learning how to deal with that. And sometimes it doesn't matter. You may have the most loving family in the world, and that still doesn't help. You know, when you're in that. And I mean, that was my experience. You know, it was tough. I'm not going to I'm not going to lie about it. So it wasn't easy being the eldest son of a Greek migrant family and coming out. But my folks were amazing when I look back on it, and still, of how much, you know, they have come to support me and love me and love my partner and love the world I'm part of. And Danny's family is exactly like that. But it still doesn't mean that he doesn't go into the abyss. And that was, and I think that's important to acknowledge. And the other thing too, all these things that are part of my experience to do with ethnicity and sexuality and masculinity are shared by Danny, but he's a younger man, and he comes into a different world, and that's where he and his father have a really different understanding of class.
Yeah.
And his experience is going to be very, very different to his mother's, because Stephanie is Greek, but Danny's half Greek, half Anglo. And that's something I wanted to write about. And what I think the series gets is that, you know, the world has changed and it's moved on. And look at our last election.
Yeah.
Got to say that, because I live in the Batman electorate.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And I went and voted in our booth at the primary school. And it was like a sea of green, right?
Yeah.
Everyone was green. And the only people that were voting Labor, and it's because I can speak Greek, and I was overhearing the old ladies and the old guys. And it's like that, you know, I thought that well, in a way, isn't that Barracuda? That older generation and the younger generation, they're speaking almost another language, and it's how do we learn to translate between each other? That feels to me like the most important thing we need to learn to do as a culture at the moment. Because we're just screaming at each other.
I think the challenge between communicating across generations exists in all communities within our culture as well.
Now, of course, if you miss Barracuda on Sunday night, you can iView it on the ABC website. You can also watch all four episodes if you choose to. I can recommend that. Yeah. It's currently showing on Sunday night. Thanks, Christos, for spending the time with us on Joy 94.9 on The Informer. It's great to have you here.
It's been really
an absolute
fantastic.
Pleasure. Let's do it again, and this time I come in.
Okay, we're going to hold you to that.
Yeah.
Take care. Thank you for that.
Thank you so much for being on.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.